Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Friday has arrived yet again. 860-522-9842. Thank you for being here, as always. Don't forget, this afternoon, last hour, 5 o'clock hour, is our food hour. We have a lot of fun. If you haven't heard it, tune in today, 5 to 6, for Order Up and find out what the fun is. Yeah, and because of that, we move the rants out of the 5 o'clock hour, where they normally are, into the beginning of the show. So this hour today, we're going to do rants, take phone calls. Next hour, we will have the mayor of Enfield here, Ken Nelson, to there's been some controversy in the town, accusations of, I guess, teachers in the town being racist because of elevated rates of suspensions and stuff, disciplinary action against minorities. We'll talk to Ken about that and find out what his perspective on it is. It's being driven by special interest groups in the town, the accusation. So we'll try to get to the bottom of it. That's during the 4 o'clock hour. So this hour, rants, phone calls, anything you want to talk about, you're welcome to this hour. 4 o'clock will be our visit with Ken Nelson, the mayor of Enfield. And then last hour, we will discuss food, because that's what we do on Fridays to get the weekend off rocking. So I will get the rants rolling right now for you. And if you, you know, you're welcome to call and comment, 860-522-9842 during the rants. And the rant line number, 860-751-4698. And here we go with the rants.
So for all these people out in Bristol complaining about the gassing the geese, if you want them to stay alive, why don't you go out there with pooper scoopers and pick up all the geese crap at least 5 times a week?
That, well, why not every day? What do you mean 5 times a week? The geese have to go to the bathroom 7 days a week, don't they? I think the does anybody feel empathy for geese? For some, I think they've worn out their welcome. They're so abundant, and as is their poop, that who wants to put up with them?
Hello, Todd. I am ranting about the regulatory commission deciding that Eversource and United Illuminating can raise their rates, and the message was that the average customer is going to pay $20 to $30 more dollars a month. That's $400 a year more out of your pocket, maybe five. Where are you supposed to get that money? People already are struggling in this state. I think that they should take and get rid of some of those little programs they have in there where they're paying people to spray foam your insulation in your house and change light bulbs. We should stop paying for those things so we can get reasonable rates.
Those are not from coming from the utility companies, those programs. Those are federal programs, state programs, and the utility industry, it's hyper-regulated. PURA, the regulatory board in the state, they make all the rules for Eversource. So, you know, don't get mad at Eversource because Eversource is doing something. Well, you can get mad at them, but get mad first at the state, because Ned Lamont, the governor, has near total control over PURA. He gets the most appointments on the board, so he controls it, and his party controls it completely. So anything going on that you don't like with the cost of electricity is owned and operated by the Democratic Party.
Todd Feinberg on the radio and on Odyssey.
Oh man, that is just such a good. That's Neil Young, isn't it?
My God, so Stormy Daniels did not blackmail Trump. Stormy Daniels was selling her story to the National Enquirer. So somehow the Trump Foundation found out about it. It was election time, so I think Michael Cohen called her and said, how much are they paying you? We'll pay you more. So she got $130,000. So at the same time, Karen McDougal got $150,000, but her affair was for 9 months. So at the same time, supposedly there's a doorman that's going to testify. Trump was always going to his building because he was having an affair with this woman who supposedly had a child by Trump. So he was getting paid as well. At the same time, Melania was pregnant and had a baby. So he was a busy little bumblebee. And I can't believe he's not skinny. Bye, John. That's the story.
But I think the key part of it for the trial, the key part of the story is that the allegation against Trump is that he sent Michael Cohen to make the deal. And the purpose of that deal was to keep this from getting into the news, because in the wake of the tapes on the grabbing women tapes, in the wake of those being released, Trump supposedly didn't want another similar sort of scandal, because the Access Hollywood tapes didn't cause him a drop in the polls that was meaningful, if at all. And they thought that maybe their luck would run out if there was a second story that would lend credence. So they didn't want the Stormy Daniels story becoming part of the campaign. That is the allegation. Whether true or not, that's the allegation. So the key part of it is that the allegation is that for political reasons, Michael Cohen was sent as fixer in chief for Donald Trump to fix this problem. And that was by paying money, which made that money, according to the allegations, a campaign contribution. So that's where we are. 860-522-9842. But thank you for the, I have trouble remembering all that stuff because it just doesn't feel that interesting to me. Somebody's personal life and who they're having affairs with and stuff. That's my response.
Hey, Todd, it's Wayne from Meriden. You were talking about words yesterday to get rid of. I tried to get through, but your line was busy, so I figured I'd go on the rant line. Either and neither. No such words. And that's a lazy way of saying neither or either. So tell these people out there to stop being lazy and pronounce the words the way they're supposed to be, because when the kids hear that, then they think it's okay. And then the next thing you know, the next generation is saying the same thing. So let's set the example. It's either or neither, not either or neither. Additionally, I was listening to that talk show today around noontime, and they were talking about these kids now in middle school that want to dress up in these furry animal things and wear them to school. That is so freaking ridiculous. And the parents are sticking up for them too. They're sick. What a sick society this is. First it's the LGBTQ, then it's BLM. Now you got these kids, they want to dress up in furry animals costumes with tails and go to school like that every day and be referred to furries. Sickos. Sick society. I hope God's watching and he's thinking, someday, time to start civilization over again. Enough already. Take care, Todd.
I get the feeling that parents today are scared of their kids. Like they don't know what's going on. But they don't want to be the one to stand up and say, let's just forget about the furry thing. You can wear that at home if you want, but not to school. And then what do you do if suddenly the kid's coming home and all the other kids are wearing the furries? 860-522-9842. It's Friday on WTIC. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll talk some more coming up on News Talk 1080.
Never miss a moment. Go listen to the Todd Feinberg podcast on the Odyssey app.
Do you have any notion in your head that either and either, that there's one, only one of those is correct? Because Wayne sounded pretty adamant about it. And maybe during his era or where he went to school, they made a big thing out of that. Like, you know, they teachers in the old days, they were very strict about English rules, and they had their own notions sometimes regionally or in an individual teacher. But listen to this.
How do you say it? Neither. Neither. That's American English. Neither, British English, but it can also be said as neither in British English, neither, or neither. So, neither or neither in British English, or neither and neither in American English. And now you know.
So there seems to be two ways to say neither or either. Or either or neither, which is what I've always figured. But I also trust that Wayne probably had somebody drilling that into his head that he wasn't allowed to say either.
Either and neither. No such words. And that's a lazy way of saying neither or either. So tell these people out there to stop being lazy and pronounce the words the way they're supposed to be, because when the kids hear that, then they think it's okay. And then the next thing you know, the next generation is saying the same thing.
You know what else is interesting about this? The way he's doing the ER on the end, like the Boston accent part. There.
How do you say it? Neither. Neither. That's American English. Neither. British English.
But neither. British English. Well, that's where the Boston accent comes from, isn't it? Fred in Middletown. Hi, Fred.
Dude, I can't believe this guy doesn't know potato, potato.
Well, that's the thing. Is potato, potato illegal? And we didn't know.
No, no. And they go through a bunch of words. You say neither. I say neither. You wear pajamas.
You say tomato. I say tomato.
Yeah, and they go through a whole bunch of them.
So some people don't like anybody who varies.
That's ridiculous there. Yeah. It's one of my favorite Fred Astaire songs there, you know, putting on the Ritz.
It's a good song.
Yeah, I think that's it. I just couldn't resist that, you know. Unless you want to hear a three-minute political thing. You don't want to hear that right now, another time, huh?
What kind of political thing?
Well, it's about the New World Order.
You mean a poem?
Well, it's not quite a poem. A guy used to use it to begin his show to tell us how, you know, we'd been taken over by freaks 25 years ago. And I copied it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll spit it.
Give us a little of it anyway.
All right. So glad you could make it. Welcome to the New World Order. Never in human history have so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington.
All right. That's enough. We get the
thank
feeling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Another one of those. Don's in East Hartford. Hi, Don.
Good afternoon, Pat.
Where have you been all week?
I've been listening to you.
But you haven't been calling.
No, because I have nothing to say. I listen.
I don't believe it. You always have an opinion. Come on, man.
Well, my blood is boiling now because I think you must have heard about the Cheshire school problem.
Yes.
What's your thought on it? That's not a good look for Cheshire and the school community, the way they treated these kids from New Haven.
Yeah, I don't. Do you know what's going on and whether what we're hearing is true? This was the some kids or there was one student apparently who made an online comment about that the New Haven kids were thugs. Right? Was that the word?
Yes.
And that kid, they don't know who he is, and the posting has been taken down.
Yeah, and says we don't want them here. But anyway, that's not the point.
Okay.
The reason why I called is because you said you're going to be having a guest from another town who is having problems with school, with the same with school system too, right?
Enfield.
Yeah. So, but I pulled up there on the Cheshire discussion on Google just now, and there's a number of students from New Evans who said they have encountered racism from the very first year, and one of them is a senior. And she said all through the time she's been there, she have encountered
microaggressions.
Yes, and racism. So, and she's not surprised at the post on Facebook because they have endured it all the time, but they just didn't speak up.
So I saw that too, and that suggests that the places where they tell us they celebrate diversity, they don't allow bullying, where compassion is practiced and drilled into the kids, apparently in those places, in the hometown the hometown school of some New Haven kids, that they're going to this suburban school and they're getting harassed. Now, how is that possible?
Look at the broader society. Look at the society we live in today. You know, people use freedom of speech to attack people and say, oh, it's freedom. I'm allowed to say whatever.
But I thought we live in the era where you're not allowed to say anything.
No, that's not true. People say all manner of things these days, thanks to one special person who's leading the charge, who thinks he has a right to say whatever comes to his mind, whoever, and disrespect the court system.
So you feel, we're in a period now where random racist remarks are escalating?
Yes, and people tell, I see it on social media, people say it's freedom of speech. People are allowed to speak their minds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think they can get away with it because they can do it anonymously. But is this a recent? How long would you say that racist talk has been increasing?
From a black perspective, we in our community said it's being taught from generation to generation. Why would a young high school kid or a middle school kid have such ideas to in their head? Where did they learn it? It is learned. Racism is a learned.
Except I think all people have bigotry in their heads. It's just innate.
Yes.
That, you know, one group doesn't like another group. That has to do with people with red hair and blue eyes and whatever it is. So I don't know that there's any escaping it.
Todd, racism is about power. Coming from a black man, I'm telling you. Racism is all about power.
But isn't every group's sense that they're somehow superior? Like, my wife grew up in East Boston, and she talks about how the Irish kids and the Italian kids always fought, and the Italians and the Irish both thought they were superior and laughed at each other and mocked the way they decorated and cooked and all that stuff.
They've been through their time, the Irish and the Italians. But they have overcome. We are the only race who's still facing it. Why? The Irish faced it and they overcame. The Italians faced it and they overcame. They found a place. Why is it that only African Americans are still facing it in 2024?
I think because of the loyalty to Democrats and not taking part in the electoral system and practicing freedom of choice with regard to who you vote for. That to me, that's it. But there's a lot of factors. Anyway. Got to run to our bottom of the hour news. Thank you, Don, for the call. We'll talk more coming up and play more rants on WTIC.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Wait, come on. Oh, come on. Why wait? You can rant right now at
860-751-4698
on the Todd Feinberg Show.
Boy, oh, boy. We've got more rants to play, more phone calls to take. Second hour, we will talk about the accusations of racism in the schools coming from a community activist, I guess. And we'll talk to the mayor about it and find out what the latest is in the Enfield schools. Dave in Brantford. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, Todd, sorry about the weight of the topic. There's a front page story on the New Haven Register by Elizabeth Moore. New Haven probe prompts marriage license changes. Pursuant to that, Pat Clark, the wedding license issuer in New Haven, who lost her job because she correctly red flagged phony sham marriages, you know, in pursuit of a green card, and she got fired.
Yep.
So the correct response by the state would have been to look into it to see what's going on. Instead, apparently on Wednesday, the state, by a 109-39 vote, changed the rules for the people that issue the wedding licenses that would prohibit them asking about your citizenship status, asking for your social security number, or any other actual proof of who you are and who you say you are. And what you need to get your wedding license now, you can choose two forms of identification from a list. And I want to just say what two of them are.
Okay.
A copy of a utility bill, your automobile registration, a voter registration card. And I just want to say none of that proves that you're a citizen or that you're of age to get married. And it's quite, and you don't need that official stamp, that notary, when you get an official document like a birth certificate or your citizenship card. It's easy to photocopy and change dates and times and people. And so the two main people behind this bill, looks like Jason Rojas of East Hartford and Steve Safstrom of Democrat out of Bridgeport, have shepherded this through. And it is incredibly despicable. We need to flag phony green card marriages, because in these town clerk's offices, we are manufacturing U.S. citizens when you marry a U.S. citizen. And this is a side door that the federal government needs to have something to say about. And in our, what are we calling it, our sanctuary state?
Well, how about state? How about voters in the state saying something about it? I mean, you've got the ruling party actively trying to destroy order in the state.
Absolutely. The wedding license is a generational document that is stored in a climate-controlled, dare I say, blast-proof room, you know, with names of parents and your age and all that stuff. And we're giving it out cheap. And when they ask your age, you don't even need to prove it. It's like your gender now. I imagine I'm a woman. I imagine I'm a binary. Well, what's your age? Are you actually 18? Oh, no, I'm 21. Well, can you prove it? No, I'm 21. That's the standard that we have devolved to because of the sanctuary status of, you know, stamping out marriages just because you say. And I've talked to several town clerks. The scam is the same everywhere. Groups of migrants come in with the justices of the peace, and a town clerk I talked to just today said they get married, they go out the front door, they give the wedding rings back so they can be reused for the next sham marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And all they need is that wedding certificate to qualify for United States citizenship. It's a sin. This is what they're doing to us. It's in today's front page of the New Haven Register. And I'm sure it'll be elsewhere. Todd, I recommend you read it. If you could get a hold of it, you'll be horrified.
Well, it's not on the front page of the online version, which I'm looking at, but it may be there somewhere. I'm going to poke around for it.
Today's New Haven Register, Elizabeth Moore wrote the story.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 860-522-9842.
Gresham's Law.
Have you ever heard of that?
Gresham's Law. Hello, Todd. John here. Gresham's Law is bad money's push out good. Gresham's Law. And this is not right in this country to have bad money pushing out good.
So the theory, I guess, is that if you have a weak form of currency and a strong one, that the weak one becomes the dominant one. That's the theory.
This country was founded on sound money. From the day we started, all the way up to 1964, 65, we changed to crappy money. Sound money has been in existence for 5,000 years. Bad money pushes out good.
Bad money pushes out good. It's a fascinating thing. Laws of nature are fascinating.
First it was his uncle was eaten by cannibals, which again obviously was proven to be incorrect. And now Iran says Joe is lying. He was warned about the attack against Israel. And then Joe said he prevented Israel from invading Haifa. Very clever, Joe, except that's an Israeli city. Couldn't get the names of the cities right, but we should not be surprised. Joe's DHS gave a work permit to Lincoln Riley's accused killer, even though they knew he had a criminal record. And now there's talk that Joe may declare a climate emergency. Anything for the green people. Just talk to the people in Alaska. He has canceled a huge copper mining permit.
Climate emergency, imagine. There might be an electric car emergency, and there might be an availability of electricity emergency coming soon to a home near you, because the climate change party is more concerned with stopping the flow of electricity and the ability to travel than it is finding the replacements for the fuels that they're canceling.
Hey, Todd, it's the American Patriot. And today's rant is about Moscow Marjorie Taylor Greene. They call her Moscow Marjorie now, apparently. Now, given Donald Trump is leading slightly in a couple of swing states, and the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene and a few others in Republican Congress are pro-Putin and pro-Russia, while Russia has people in their prison that are Americans, a journalist, a few other people, I am completely embarrassed from Donald Trump to this Moscow Margie and all these other pro-Russian Republicans. I'm so embarrassed to be an American right now. The fact that Trump is even leading in a couple swing states has to be the most embarrassing thing. I don't even want to tell anyone from another country I'm an American. I am completely embarrassed to be an American.
No, I understand that. Imagine that the guy who's considered the savior of the left, Joe Biden, is so weak as a candidate that the feared Donald Trump is leading in most of the polls.
Thank you so much, Todd. Frank from Southern, the biggest threat to this country right now, it's our education system. That is.
What did you say?
Thank you so much, Todd. Frank from Southern, the biggest threat to this country right now, it's our education system.
You mean the unionized, no standards, but the political rigging standard education system?
That is the problem in this country. When you've got kids that are going to college, supposed to be learning science, math, literature, whatever they want to learn, even if they want to learn about dolphins, it's all great. But now they come out, and all of a sudden, they're in the college, and they want to kill all Jews. And they're pro-Hamas, and it's insane why anybody in this country would pay money to send a kid to school in college today, especially if they're not going from science to high tech. I can understand it, or medical. That's great. But when they go there, they go for social politics and social this and social that and equity and all that crap. Our biggest problem in this country is our education system, and we have to take it back. Get rid of the national education system. Hey, that's a good idea. That's like athletics. That's like baseball or football. Let's do that. We could solve the problems of this country by doing that. Please think about it.
The education system is a disaster in America. No doubt about it. 860-522-9842. We're going to take a quick break. You can call in a rant while we're doing this. 860-751-4698. Stay with us on WTIC.
Never miss a moment. Go listen to the Todd Feinberg podcast on the Odyssey app.
WTIC. Play another rant or two. And then next hour, 410, Mayor Ken Nelson of Enfield will be here. We'll talk about what's going on in the schools there or what's going on in town government there about the schools. Maybe it has nothing to do with the schools. I don't know. 860-522-9842.
I got a quick question. The reason, you know, Donald Trump is on trial for giving hush money out to Stormy Daniels. Well, how come she's not being prosecuted? I mean,
he's on trial for having done the accounting on the flow of the money illegally, I believe is the right way to describe it, because the it has to do with the labeling of the money, not as campaign money, doesn't it? Because it's a campaign contribution being made outside of the campaign account. I think that's the root of the whole thing.
When you give money, when you give somebody money to get something because they're holding something over your head, technically that's extortion, and she took the money, so that's technically bribery. So she should be prosecuted for it.
Well, wait a sec. Bribery is using money to leverage somebody to do something. I don't know that the leveragee is guilty of bribery. I mean, she didn't go threaten him and say, I'm going to talk about this. They went to her and asked her if she wanted to make a deal, because they had made a deal with the Inquirer, the National Inquirer. Is that right?
So she should be prosecuted for extortion and bribery. And on another note, why is this Attorney General for New York, why is she being allowed to do the prosecution? In her run for office, her main thing, as she kept saying, was, I'm going to get Donald Trump. So she went in there with an agenda and not being biased.
Well, that is a real problem with an electoral judging system. Of course, there's also biased people who get attorney general jobs where there isn't an election, where it's an appointed position, and they're appointed because of what they agree to fight for or to work for when they hold office. If they don't answer to the people, they answer to the politicians.
So obviously she don't care about any other crimes unless she, as long as she gets Donald Trump. So that should exclude her right off the bat. And the only reason, and if we're going to do that, if we're going to go after Republican, let's go after all the Democrats and everything that have done something wrong. Hey, Hillary Clinton and Bill both had Whitewater. There are plenty of things with Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and everything that the Democrats are squashing because they're Democrats and everything. Well, you know what? Hey, what's fair is fair. Hey, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Let's have all the Republicans start ganging up on all the Democrats, going through their dirty laundry and start prosecuting them for everything they did wrong. That's justice if you want to know it.
Well, that's what is likely to happen from this stuff. Is we just keep spiraling downward into cheaper and cheesier politics.
Hi, Todd. Well, the Democratic Party is trying real hard to tell women that they are losing their rights with this abortion baloney. But then again, they're steering women away from the fact that transgender issues, facts that they cannot keep their kids from getting mutilated by the sex changes, and they're losing their privileges in sports. Really? Isn't that losing your women's rights? Later.
Do I have to? Yeah, I can play a little of this. Did you hear the Kennedys? The Kennedys did a mass endorsement of Joe Biden and as a way to defend him from Bobby Kennedy Jr.
And on that terrible night,
this is Bobby's sister.
And on that terrible night, he said, what we need in the United States.
And she's talking about their father giving a speech in Indianapolis, 1968, after the assassination a few days earlier of Martin Luther King.
Is not division. What we need in the United States is not hatred. What we need in the United States is not violence or lawlessness, but love and wisdom and compassion toward one another and a feeling of justice towards those who still suffer in this country, whether they be black or they be white.
And she gave a speech about fighting for her father standing up for the weak and how going towards the blaze rather than running from it is the responsibility of a leader. And I'm thinking, there are all those Kennedy kids doing the cheesiest, most lacking in courageous thing, attacking their own brother just so they get to stand on a stage with the president of the United States. How far the Kennedys have fallen. It's amazing. 860-522-9842.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.